So you think that by learning them in miracles instead of witnessing them, it will be harder to be reset and greater have a fuel for your enlightenment?
Yes, and for one reason. Because if you do them, it's almost as if you teach your consciousness, your brain, okay, that there's nothing to fear. You're still here. You're able to do this. There's not a threat. But if you look at the big picture, where is this going to lead? That's when it starts to get into a big problem. Because when somebody sees a miracle, what are they? I want to be just like him. Well, who's him? He's detached. He's connected to something higher. Do you get what I'm saying? So there's a problem there. But if you internalize and you're doing stuff, you're not focusing so much what you're going to become, even though you do, and it's still a problem, okay? But it's not as much of a problem. Because you're thinking more about just doing what you're doing. It's like taking little steps, but the little steps instead of big steps are adding up rapidly. And that's what I'm trying to do. That's what I'm trying to teach. But you need to communicate with yourself and say, look, I have no intentions of dying. This is why I always say, I think that a lot of spiritual organizations have a big problem. And when I say this, maybe you're going to make, you'll understand more. Sometimes I think I say stuff and I have to lay out the groundwork for a lot of people. They're not kind of like working where I'm working from. But my point is that they teach you to just forget about life. Detach from everything in life. Just have detachment and you'll find spirituality. I think there's a truth to that 2,000 years ago. In this day and age, you just can't do that. You know, I mean, a few can, but the vast majority just can't. I mean, we're too integrated with life. I mean, even if you're out in the middle of a field doing nothing or in a cave, you still got a jet flying over your head. You still can hear the traffic down below. You still are calling out internally for all these comforts that you knew you were familiar with at one time. I have a person I know that was really, really big into tribal spiritual stuff, really believed in extracting themselves from the world and from money and everything. He went to He went to Hawaii. And he was very, very dedicated, very hardcore, you know, kind of, you know, this is the way it is, blah, blah, blah. We're too in the thick. We've got to go back and isolate ourselves and we'll go in our mind if we can get away from all the stimulation and yada, yada, yada. And I always used to wonder, well, I wonder what happened to him. You know, I wonder if he was able to achieve. And I knew what was going to happen. He's going to go stir crazy after the first week probably. And lo and behold, I spoke to the, you know, one friend that knows these people, and I was like, so whatever happened to them? I was always wondering, oh, they came back like 2-3 weeks later and, you know, they're working their job now and whatever. And we asked, well, he just couldn't do it, you know? And it gets back to what I'm saying. You can't unlearn what you know already. This is all integrated now. We've become a cut, much like the tree that grows towards the light. We've shaped ourselves to a certain designed to be accommodated by how civilization is for us. It's very hard for us to work out of that. It's ingrained into our design organically, I believe. Well, when we talk about the in-between, if you've reached in the in-between, ask yourself what you're thinking. You're thinking almost nothing. Your thinking is absolutely limited, but yet you're in this higher state of consciousness. You see, that's one way of achieving it. A lot of these schools of teaching teach you that you should just detach. Detach, 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 and you're going to find what you want. I don't think that's the way to go. I think what happens, the reason why, you know, you get all these people trying to find enlightenment, I don't think they're finding it. I think they're finding peacefulness. They're becoming more simplistic in their way of living. Probably less stressful, clearly, okay, than what we're used to and stuff. But when they come over here, boy, they're just going nuts. When I think about the Buddhist monks and how they're supposed to be all spiritual and everything else, I think about the Buddhist monks that came over to America. They were out in California. Unfortunately, they had a horrible thing happen, you know, where they were meditating and they were in a deep state of consciousness, and these kids came and cut their throats, okay, and killed them. But I hate to take a negative and then look at another negative, but one thing that came out of that was a bit interesting in a way. It was a horrible, horrible situation. But what was more interesting, when the investigators got to this isolated place, and these were hardcore monks, by the way. These were the real deal, supposedly. They went through their rooms and all this stuff, and what did they find in their rooms? Does anybody know? Pornography. They found pornography hidden in all their in one of these rooms or in all their rooms or whatever. Which tells you what?
that they were just as vulnerable in all of their great spirituality that they that everybody esteemed upon them. They were just as interested in the rest of us in certain things, you know, and lack certain discipline. Look at all these priests now, what we're discovering. I mean, we're very naive what we want to believe versus what the reality is. What reality is, I don't care how much they tell you to detach from life and don't think about this and don't engage in that or discipline yourself with that. We're too hardwired in. So my approach, I think, is much better. And I think it's the truth. Look, the universe is created for a reason. And that is for us to experience it. That's the purpose of life. You're not here just to find enlightenment. Okay, that's not your purpose. Your purpose is something was created for you. Something beautiful. Something amazing, astonishing. Don't think about all these other wondrous places you can go to in all these other universes because you don't think this is stimulating. This is amazing. There's so many levels to it. You have to find a happy medium. And when you can find a happy medium, that's when you're going to attain enlightenment. I say, don't separate yourself from love, from people to love. Don't separate yourself from monetariness. Don't engross yourself in it either, okay? But what I'm saying is the middle path. Keep one foot in this world and want to be here. Enjoy what here is. Reflect on what here is. Reflect on the beauty of what is here and enjoy all those things. And then the other, seek your spirituality at the same time. But red cells choose to purely go in one direction, and ironically, which is you know, to be completely the opposite of spiritual. And then what do these other schools teach their people to do? They teach them to go to the other extreme and to forget all about reality. Well, to me, that there's a big problem there. Because now you're kind of detaching from a lot of the beauty of what the world. So they say, well, you shouldn't eat spicy food and certain things. You know, you shouldn't have anything with stimulation or whatever. Look, don't harm your body. I agree. That is the temple, because that is the mechanism that's going to allow you to attain enlightenment or any level. You start polluting your body with chemicals and drugs and all this stuff, you're doomed. You're not going to discover a higher state of consciousness through that. You're going to find a false level of consciousness from that. And then you've ruined all the machinery that you had to get you there, okay, through destroying it, okay? But on the same token, I think that you need to experience the flavors of life. You know, the healthier ones, okay, the more robust ones that other religions say you shouldn't explore. Just, you know, as my mother used to say, you know, it's okay to eat everything, you know, that you want to try. But, you know, quantity, you know, you don't gorge yourself. You know, it's within reason. You can have your cheesecake too, but do you have to eat the whole thing? And I'd go, yeah, you know. So the point is that's kind of the philosophy that we got to, you know, enjoy life. Enjoy the people in your life. Appreciate what you have in your life. But when you sit here and you're miserable because you think by escaping all of this that you're going to be happier, you're really preventing yourself from being able to achieve that because of what I'm trying to intellectually teach you right now, is that you've got to not take the bull by the horns. You're not going to win. You're going to put the cape up and let them run around, let them get tired, then you can do whatever you want. You got to work with the brain a little bit and say, you know, and be smarter and say, well, I'm not trying to escape you. I'm trying to improve you. That me moving into this higher level is still another part of this level. It's all one thing. And when you can work in that level and make it non-threatening, but you want to be here. You want to live forever. You want to work with this, but you just want, you know, a broader spectrum of opportunities. This is when you're going to have better breakthroughs. Do you understand? When we go into deep states of consciousness, what do I always say? People, the reason why they cannot move into higher states of enlightenment or into enlightenment cycles, okay, is because of what? A fear of what?
Death.
Exactly. Okay? This is exactly what I'm trying to say now. It's the fear of death that prevents you from moving there. So I always say, your body will breathe. It's just if you get hit in the head and you go into a coma, it's as if the rest of your body just keeps functioning in most cases. The only ones that don't are the ones that are really severely damaged. You're not damaged. Okay, your brain can do a million things at the same time. Don't worry about your breathing. Don't worry about you. So if you piss your pants, piss your pants. If you can shit your drawers, shit your drawers. Don't worry about it. You're going to wake up. You're going to open your eyes when you're done. You're lucky if you're going to be able to go for an hour or two. They talk about these people who meditate for 2 weeks. Well, if you can do that, good for you. Go do it. You also can win megabucks the same day, okay? Don't worry about that stuff. It's not anything to be concerned about. You're going to be fine. Let yourself go. Learn to just tell your body, hey, it's cool. Automate. Go on autopilot. I'm with it. And you don't have to think about breathing. You're thinking about breathing right now, but you're doing it. So why are you worried, you know, when you meditate that you're going to stop breathing? You're not. It comes down to the same thing, though. It's a fear. Fear controls. Fear controls the mind. Fear controls. And we don't even recognize it as fear. That's the problem. We have to be able to recognize something in order to move beyond it, to step beyond it. You know, at the same token, I think if you destroy your body by committing suicide or something, well, you're just doing the opposite. You're not going to release yourself to get there sooner. You know, you're going to be all jacked up because you're supposed to get data from this dimension. This is part of the big picture. There's a reason behind it all.